C1S, number 27B.
We can't anymore go on with that kindergarten mentality where we say, well, this little child is so innocent and therefore we can't see why this innocent child should have this sickness and so on. It hasn't done anything wrong. We should know now more that this weak belief of that child is ruled by the stronger belief of the surrounding of the parents. No matter if the parents are openly in discord or only inwardly in discord, the child just reacts on it. The stronger belief rules the weaker belief. She shows then afterwards that the majority of belief rules the minority of belief, and we know so well how, in general, people are unwilling to see that. That everyone says, well, I don't believe in this and this. I don't believe in a Roman Catholic curse. I don't believe in this and that and the other. Therefore, it can't harm him. Naturally, it does harm him. Until he doesn't know anything more than a belief, namely the science of reality, mind and its idea. And he's on that straight and narrow way of mind and its idea, the majority of belief, that which the world consciousness holds within itself, is ruling the individual. Therefore, the good man can suffer just as much or even more than the bad man, because it's not good enough to be good. The world consciousness has not been solved and resolved and retranslated just by being individually good. We must know the principle of goodness in order to accomplish more. And when we see that she brings it here, for instance, in regard to the drugs. So many people say, well, I don't believe in this drug or so. Yes, but she says, but the discoverer believes in it. The inventor of that drug believes in it. The chemist who produces it believes in it. The botanist believes in it. And some of the men who advertise it believe in it. But only some of them. Then the doctor believes in it, and the nurse believes in it, and the patient believes in it. And that makes up the majority of belief. And it is interesting, I didn't say that yesterday, but the medical science says that they have found out that a drug that is administered by the discoverer has more effect than it's administered just by the nurse or by the doctor, because the discoverer believes more in it. Because he has given all his energies and thought and endeavor into this, and so believes in it. And you can see how the magic, the mortal mind, is still working in all those things. More and more we see that clearer. The majority of belief. What is the majority of belief in which we are? It seems to me what she is indicating and perhaps then bringing out clearer and clearer in the chapter on Apocalypse is to make us realize that we don't have only to deal with visible and audible error and sin, but that latent mortal world consciousness, out of which the whole human mankind is awakening, slowly awakening since thousands and thousands of years, drags on a whole atmosphere of mortal minds archetypes, so to say, mortal minds concept, and which is shared by the whole mankind, not just by some individuals, not just by a race, but by the whole mankind. It's the Adam dream that is still working and from which Adam hasn't quite woken up yet. And it's that world mortal consciousness which really is the majority of belief. And therefore we see the necessity of finding a higher plane of consciousness today. That the individual healing is fine and is necessary, and no one knows more than the one who has been sick how wonderful it is no more to be sick. But as she has shown before, the aim of science and of healing is really to heal in our consciousness that universal belief of an Adam race, a universal belief of a mortal man consciousness. If we can heal that, then we heal everything which is comprised in it. Then we don't have to heal every detail of it. I told you, I think, once that I wasn't brought up with the Bible, and that only very, very late in my life I was acquainted with the Bible. And I have a wonderful mother in this regard, because she was a Christian Scientist when I was still quite young, but she never talked science to me, never, except when I came to ask her for it, and that was very seldom, very seldom. But I remember once I came to her in a trouble about something, and she told me a little story from the Bible, which you all know, which is so indicative of what Mrs. Eddy says here. She told me the story of the loss of the asses. This is asses, you see? Yes. Who was it? Saul, you see? That he lost his asses, that the father sent him out to find his asses. And then she told me and said, then the servant said, go up to the prophet and ask him. And the prophet told him not where to find the ass. But she said to me, but the prophet told him that he makes him king over the whole Israel. And then, if you are king over the whole, you have found the ass. And it was so simple, it never left me. It always told me not to run after the individual problem, if possible, to find the ass, but to take the whole, and then everything is comprised in it and solved in it. Here it is that she shows, well, take the whole, work to solve the problem of the belief that there is a mortal consciousness at all. If we work out of that universal belief of a mortal consciousness, of that latent error, then we comprise the whole, and everything begins to fit harmoniously into one another. And this is what is arching itself upon us, and which we feel more and more in our lives and in our way of dealing with the oncoming problems, that things begin to fit by themselves. Then, when we see that we don't have to solve an individual problem so much as to solve the universal problem of the majority of belief, and realize that there is only one divine infinite calculus. Really, somehow I feel that the divine infinite calculus, and realizing that, is the answer to this age-old belief in a mortal consciousness. But the divine infinite calculus is more than a system. You see, it's the operation of the system. It's the living operation of the system, which shows that each individual idea finds its right place by itself, therefore works out the individual position and place within the whole by itself, if I have the whole. If I'm soul and take the whole kingdom and see that I'm king of the whole, then everything is mine, and then everything fits into each other harmoniously. That's what I feel she is indicating here, and in the last paragraph she makes that statement, which is 155:15. There's the universal belief in physics weighs against the high and mighty truth of Christian metaphysics. It's the universal belief in physics that weighs so much against metaphysics. See, so many people ask themselves the question which we have to ask ourselves earnestly and honestly. We can't sidestep it. That 50, 70 years ago, the healing in Christian Science seemed to have been easier than today. That the results, the physical results they have shown, were more striking than they are today in general. Well, but the world was a different world. Today, the whole general thought of mankind is much more fixed on the science of physics and sees physics as the king and sees physics as the only ruling power and is with all their heart and soul, so to say, sold to physics, to rockets, to radio, to television, to icebox and I don't know what, you see. So that the consciousness has been taken over by the universal belief in physics, and physics means separated from God. This is very different from earlier times, even if you think back to the time of Jesus, where the whole mentality of that age was still in that, just coming out of the magic and mystical age, slowly coming out, but still being deeply rooted in that mentality of animism, where they just still saw in every stone, in every bush, in every tree, in every river, something of God and of the soul of God and so on, where that separation between God, spirit and matter has not been accomplished in a way as it is accomplished today. So the one can understand that the universal belief in physics, which is so strong today, weighs mightily against the truth of Christian Science. And therefore, we cannot expect to get the same results as they got until we really begin to see the science of spirit and accept it much clearer than they had to accept it in order to bring about the results. Did I make that clear?
Yes.
I think it's an issue which we have to see the wise. See, that the way is clear before us where the problem really seems to lie. It isn't that we may not be as earnest as the earlier Christians or the first Christian scientists. It isn't that we have less understanding than the first Christian scientists. It is because the age, the universal belief, is much stronger in physics, in the potency of physics, in matter has been enthroned, techniques have been enthroned, in the universal consciousness. And so until science can pierce through, and this demands much more than belief and good affections that take form in goodness. It needs the science of spirit. So we can't go find the solution anywhere else but to push forward. Just to push forward with all our energies, with all our love, with all our devotion, to push forward to see clearer that there is nothing going on but mind's idea. I don't think that we can handle the situation today anymore with metaphysics. I think we have to push on to the real signs of it, where we think with the mind of Christ, where we know that we have the Spirit of God, where we see that the only soul we have is the soul of God. Only then, really, I think we have a chance to pierce through that matter barrier, which tries to separate us from the spiritual realm. Yes, well, that's the fifth tone. And it has shown us how, in the fifth tone, how we have, so to say, put all our true sense of fatherhood into the divine mind. What does that mean? That in our consciousness, really, we have to entertain only mind's ideas. That the moment we entertain anything else in our minds, the moment we begin to talk disease, to talk evil, to talk crime, to talk this, to listen endlessly to disease, and so on, we are not fathering ourselves. Then we are nurturing and adding and multiplying within our consciousness the very antidote of the medicine of mind. The medicine of mind is mind, capital M, which is expressing itself as ideas. So let's just see that the more we can just live and move and have our being in the realm of ideas and not go below that standard, just to stay there where we see that our standard is to have but one thing going on, namely the eternal law of life, of spontaneity, the eternal law of truth, of the self-realization of truth, the eternal law of love, namely the eternal self-integration and infinite encompassing law of love. Then if we remain there, then we father really us and the universe rightly.